It is Saturday morning. It's just after 10 o'clock and it's time for yet another Tech Plus. Hello and welcome. It's Ian with you and also Kane. Kane, nice to have you back in studio. How's it going?
Good. It's going great.
Listen, what a week, eh?
Jeez. They only make you stronger, eh?
Yeah, but I mean, it was just a challenge. It was just challenge deluxe, actually, this week.
You feel good when you get at the end, to the end of a hard week.
Yeah, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Keeping things on this week was really hard. Hey?
Managing battery power.
Yeah, I mean, how much did you even run your generator this past week?
Funny you actually mention that, because I had a look at my generator. I bought it a couple months ago, and I looked and I saw I have 200 hours so far. So with my generator, I've obviously averted 200 hours of load shedding, which is quite a lot. But this week specifically, it's on like 222 now.
Hmm.
You know, it's 22 hours worth of generator running this week, I think.
You see, but I mean, my electronics are just tired, eh? I mean, they permanently... I actually set up like a charging station in my house. This corner with a plug that's now called my charging station. I plug all my stuff in there that needs recharging, but they're permanently on it.
What, when you turn your laptop on, does it come up with a text that says, not right now?
But listen, you won't believe what happened last night, eh?
What happened?
You know when... what's happening around you is kind of affecting your dreams.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of seeping into your dreams. So I was dreaming that there was a steak on a grill.
Yes.
And it was sizzling. You know when you put meat on,
yes,
on a grill, it goes tss,
yes,
that noise. So that was in my dream. I heard that. And then there was a smell as well, but the smell was more rubbery.
Okay.
And something just happened and I woke up. I don't know if there was a bang or whatever. And I woke up to my UPS, my internet UPS, sizzling like a steak.
Sizzling?
Sizzling like a steak on a braai, making this sizzle noise and smoke coming out of it, and even a flame inside.
What?
Yeah.
On fire?
It was just after load shedding, just after the power came back on at midnight. So I was just falling asleep. That is usually...
That could have gone really bad.
Really bad, especially I've got a new place. I just moved into a new place. Imagine
if, burn it down.
If I burn it down. So people, just be careful, eh? Like people are saying now, you know, because I posted it on Facebook, and they say like, okay, but what brand were you using? And I couldn't answer them. I did my homework. The reviews were okay on Takealot for this product, which was like 800 Rand, I think. Not okay. Too bad. But... it doesn't really have a name. It just says UPS.
No, it's no name.
So please be careful. Stick to your known brands from now on. Now, funny thing is, this is my replacement. The previous one did something very similar. Well, not as dramatic. It just smoked, and that was it.
Wow.
This was my replacement that this now. And if you're wondering, it was on a surge protector plug and everything. It was actually depleted. I think it ran out before the power came back on again, because we had just had a 4-hour session.
Right.
The power came back on, it started charging, and that's when it caught fire.
Unbelievable.
But I got out of bed and I ran. I just picked it up. It was so hot. And I just threw it in my basin.
And turned the water
on. No, I didn't turn the water on.
Oh,
I was
really?
Just waiting for it to steam out, you know, open the window and everything. Because I knew I had to return it and I didn't want to put water on it.
No,
the fire went out as well.
I would have spear tackled that thing out the window.
Yeah, can you believe this?
Jeez.
So be careful. It's like, what if I decided not to be home last night at that stage? Like at midnight last night, I wasn't home. What would have happened?
What if you decided to stay in your dream and enjoy the steak?
I would be the steak. It could have been. But seriously, you know, what it could have gone wrong? I mean, it didn't even trip the power, which is very concerning. You know, it didn't even trip the earth leakage or whatever.
It's very hard to tell. You know, it reminds me of two similar situations I had. I once would travel a lot. So I took all the components that were inside of the PC and I set them out on the ground. And when I would travel, I'd put them all in a travel bag and move. So I didn't really have a PC box. I would just set up all the insides PC on the ground.
Okay.
And that's it worked cool. For like 3 months, until one day there was just a snap, crackle, pop, and my power supply was smoking. And that was the end of that. And then we were up at the Karoo. We were staying at a farm and we went to use the tumble dryer. Don't know why I was using a tumble dryer in the Karoo. I mean, that you can walk outside wet and you'll walk back inside dry, you know. But we turned it on and there was like there was something jamming the motor. So when we turned it on, it was stuck. And some of the lint and stuff inside of it,
that's usually
caused like a kindling for a flame. And we walked out, and when we came back a few minutes later, you could smell something was going on.
Yeah.
And the scary thing about, you know, UPS is one thing, because you can pick it up and you can move it away.
A tumble dryer is a different story.
No, you can't just throw the tumble dryer in the sink. Let alone pick the tumble dryer up and it's getting hot and it's on fire. And you can't spray it with water because it's enclosed.
Exactly.
So you must be very careful with electronics.
It's the lint build up inside. That usually, I think it's one of the number one causes of house fires. People leaving tumble dryers unattended. You know, the other thing that people don't think of is, you know, these extractor fans in your bathroom.
Yes.
If you don't have windows, those fans, you should also not, some people leave them on 24/7. They build up dust and lint, the motor gets warm, and it heats up, and you can have a fire in your ceiling.
Well, that's what I was thinking might have happened to your UPS. Maybe there was dust or lint inside of it, there was a spark, and it caught on fire. You know,
could be. But funny thing is, it actually smelled like steak. Just a little bit, and then rubber.
You don't want that smell coming
so
from.
So please be careful. If you want to see the link, you can go to my personal Facebook page, facebook.com/Jan Engelbrecht, and then you'll see the link there. It is available on Takealot, and I do not recommend it.
Especially with people operating with all these inverters and things like that, and you know, you gotta gotta keep an eye on your electronics.
It's I need to get my wall in order, by the way.
For the next UPS. Just in case. Oh my word.
Okay, and that's enough from me now. What have you got for us for this week?
Well, speaking about alternative power, let's start talking about Eskom. Alright, so Eskom has blocked a town from using its own solar power to avoid load shedding. This is a recent announcement. So the Johannesburg High Court has ruled that a small free state municipality is not allowed to use private solar power to reduce load shedding. The Mafobi municipality has been using private power distributor Rural Maintenance to provide residents in the town of Frankfurt with electricity for more than a decade. As part of a 25-year contract, Rural Maintenance buys electricity from 4 solar farms in the area that can provide up to 3.7 megawatts of generating capacity, more than the town consumes. Aside from the supplying electricity at cheaper rates than Eskom, it has allowed Rural Maintenance to avoid implementing load shedding in Frankfurt altogether on certain days since February 2023, provided there was enough sunshine on a particular day. So this town, Frankfurt, was essentially able to partially go off grid on certain sunny days because they were utilizing the solar farm.
Yeah.
Which sounds really nice. I mean,
it sounds great.
Even if it's just for a few days, it's 1 or 2 days you don't have load shedding completely.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
This process is known as voiding, wherein a distributor can compensate for the generation shortfall from Eskom through embedded generation. And essentially, a legal firm representing Rural Maintenance, Shepson and Wiley, alleged that Eskom initially granted Rural Maintenance's request for self-managed load shedding on a 3-month trial in January. Although data from the trial was positive, the utility had since lodged a dispute over the practice with the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, essentially saying that Eskom has completely blocked it from continuing to supply, you know, voiding mechanics that would allow them to alleviate load shedding. And they claim that this holds a potential risk to the stability of the entire grid. And they also warn that this could incentivize other regions and other places to build solar farms. And I just really don't like hearing about Eskom stopping, like, because when you stop something like that, now they are forced to turn off certain solar arrays, which means the solar panel's there. It's generating power. It's just going to a dead end. It's
That's
not allowed
not cool.
to go back into the
That's
grid.
That's not cool.
3.7 megawatts.
Yeah.
You know, we get a...
It can help a lot.
We get a, you know, we get a shed every 1,000 megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
One stage of load shedding. So although it's small, it still allows a whole town to thrive. And that's the important thing. And no, they're not allowed to do that anymore.
No, this week we were technically on stage 8, eh? They just didn't want to say it.
I've seen that a lot. And when they release their statistics, they do have unplanned outages at 6,000 megawatts, which is stage 6. But the timing, I mean, even on Thursday night, 8 p.m. to 12, 2 a.m. to 6.
Yeah.
Like what?
I remember that was horrible. I had to eat so early. It felt like I was in an old age home.
Forget stage 6, stage 60. You know, that's 2 hours of power at almost 12 hours. I mean,
that's hectic, eh? That's not crazy. Cool. But here we are. We survived.
We survived.
How?
Sheer will.
Jeez, I know you got to stay positive, but man, some days are tough, eh?
And before we go to the music break, here's something else. So Seagate, do you know who Seagate is? They're a hard drive manufacturer.
Hard drive, yes. Hard drive, yes. I was going to say
so
that.
So if you have an external hard drive and you take it apart, Seagate, you might see a Seagate hard drive. Well, yes. They were recently slapped with a 5.4 billion rand fine for selling hard drives to Huawei. Huawei. Yeah, I am right. It's Huawei.
Okay, so the place or the brand?
Yeah.
Like and the brand.
The problem here is that USA basically stopped that from being possible. They said no US producing or equipment producing manufacturer such as Seagate, who makes hard drive, is allowed to sell to these certain regions. And out of three competitors, Seagate was the only one who said, we're still going to do it. Like, we're not going to listen to what you say, we're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they became a top producer for them, a top hard drive distributor, and one of the main sources of hard drives for that place. And they've now been fined 5.4 billion billion rand, which is estimated to be twice as much as they made in terms of profit from that initiative. And it just goes to show how powerful a country like USA can be when they shut down hard drives coming into your country.
Yeah.
And also, that's not the only thing that stopped them as well. They've also put sanctions on smart chips. On chips that go on your phone that allow your phone to be as powerful as your phone is. So there's definitely, like, you have a lot of power if you're someone like USA and you just stop certain pieces of your equipment being sold, regardless of what the company who's in the country wants to do with their goods and services. So even a top producer can be completely fined to a point where who else would want to take the risk of selling equipment and hardware to Chinese governments and companies. And this is all on the back foot of the TikTok ban.
I was going to say no. Yeah.
They are scurrying. It feels like they're worried, like really concerned.
Really, really concerned.
About the come up of China.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with things like this. I mean, these are drastic. Huawei Android, right? That was drastic.
Yeah, people are still paying the price.
People who have a Huawei now will say this is the worst phone they've had in years because they can't get apps.
Yeah, you need. I know somebody who's actually keeping his old Android because Huawei can't carry some apps, or he's having trouble sideloading them.
Decimated.
Yeah,
a Huawei.
So now you got to have two phones. So that was a massive thing. People are still feeling the effects of it.
Consumers are feeling the effects. Yeah. You know, now you've locked into a this is where it's bad, because when Huawei launched in South Africa, they gave huge incentives for Huawei stock because it made the most money. So they still have all this gear and all these longer term contracts, and you go into Telkom, you get your upgrade, now you're locked in.
And Huawei is actually a good phone.
Yes.
It is a good phone,
good
but
camera,
it was
good everything.
Some they just cut its wings.
Yeah. Just made it hard to use. Because even getting Discord, you have to have a separate app in between the app gallery on a Huawei and Discord just to make it work.
It's, and your typical consumer they're not that tech savvy to be able to do
that. You are tech savvy, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know,
but if you're not,
you're struggling. You're struggling. And now it's time for music break.
It's time for some music, Kane.
What are we listening to?
Here's Tom Grennan with Here.
Here we go. I'll be here for you.
They're gonna take you from me. They better bring a whole army. You know I fight by the sea. No, there's no wave that can stop me. When the sky turns black, I'll be the light you need. I'll go to hell and back. I'll be your remedy. Ain't gotta have no doubt. I'll do it endlessly. With every breath I breathe. You know they doubt me. You know they doubt me. Here for you. You know they doubt me. You know they doubt me. could drown out the smoke when every wildfire's blazing. Yeah. Turn this broken hope into something amazing. When the sky turns black, I'll be the light you need. I'll go to hell and back. I'll be your remedy. Ain't gotta have no doubt. I'll do it endlessly with every breath I breathe. You know that I'll be, you know that I'll be here for you. You know that I'll be, you know that I'll be here for you. You know that I'll be, you know that I'll be here. I'll be here for you. You know that I'll be, I'll be here for you. I'll always be near to you. You know that I'll be, you know that I'll be. If you're in trouble or running, trust me, I'm coming. Yeah, I'll be, you know that I'll be, you know that I'll be. Oh, darling, it's loving, and trust me, nothing can stop me, cause I'll be, you know that I'll be, you know that I'll be here for you.
That was Tom Grennan and here. Welcome back to Tech Plus, where we talk about the week's biggest tech stories. And I'm Bjorn, and with me is Kane. Kane, what have you got for us next?
You know, Jan, I tried to stay away from the AI this week. I tried
That's impossible.
But it chased me down.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just so much to talk about, and it's not slowing down. The first thing we're going to talk about is a startup's called Humane's Wearable AI Assistant, which was essentially piloted at a TED Talk on Thursday, right? And this particular device is very interesting. So Humane, the startup founded by ex-Apple employees Imran and Bethany Bongiorno, has given a first live demo of its new device, a wearable gadget with a projected display and AI-powered features intended to act as a personal assistant. Visually, this thing looks like something you would put above your pocket on a smart shirt. You know, your pocket on your right side for, mm-hmm. for a collared shirt.
Yes.
Like something you would put just above there.
Oh.
Not very big, like a badge or a lapel.
Okay, you know? Okay.
Looks kind of like that. And it's a new kind of wearable device and platform that's built entirely from the ground up for artificial intelligence. They said in comments transcribed, it's completely standalone. You don't need a smartphone or any other device to pair with it. And thanks to the presentation, we now have at least some idea of what the device might be able to do and how it might go about doing it without a traditional touchscreen interface. During the presentation, Chandri wears the device in his breast pocket, tapping it in lieu of the wake word and then issuing voice commands like you would with something like an Alexa or an Amazon Echo and those kind of devices. So they went on to say, imagine this, you've been in meetings all day and you just want a summary of what you've missed. Which Chandre said before tapping his device and asking to be caught up. In response, the device offers a summary of emails, calendar invites, and messages. And it's unclear exactly how this information is given, but it also has a projective camera on it or a projector on it. So when you, let's say you get a video call, you put your hand in front of the lapel and it projects what should be onto the screen directly onto your hand. And it's all sort of smart, Whoa. Intelligent assistant features, like your normal voice command stuff, but then yeah. also like answering phone calls or automatically leaving messages or all sorts of stuff. But it's just
cool.
It's an assistant, secretary on your shoulder.
Wow.
That you just tap and touch and ask questions. And this is just an example of some of the technology. Remember, there's no screen, there's no buttons, yeah. there's no nothing. It's completely controlled by you. It syncs up with your phone. very cool piece of technology.
Yo, it sounds very cool.
A lot of people wouldn't end up using it. It's also got camera features and all sorts of other stuff. So if you get in an accident or something, someone can, you know, see what your last thing you saw was. All powered by AI, which is, it's an ability enabled computer that can do human-like tasks, like take notes for you or summarize something or book a doctor's appointment for you or check in with a coworker about the progress on something, and you can tell it to continuously check up over the rest of the week and give you updates periodically every 6 hours, and it's just going to automatically do it and feed you those updates as it gets it from your human employee.
Wow.
So it's going to be pretty crazy. Can't escape it.
Hey.
But that's not the only thing. Sometimes AI is good and sometimes AI is not so good. Do you know who Michael Schumacher is?
Yes.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah, but I know what you're going to talk about. It was hectic, eh?
So a family, the family of F1 legend Michael Schumacher plans legal action over a fake AI interview. So a German magazine published a misleading interview with the Formula One star that had been generated by an AI chatbot. So the family of Formula One racing legend Michael Schumacher is preparing to take legal action against Die Aktuelle, a German tabloid magazine, for publishing an AI-generated interview with the star. The publication ran a front cover spread earlier this week promising an exclusive interview with Schumacher, accompanied by a tag referencing the piece as the first interview since the F1 star suffered a serious brain injury during a skiing accident in December 2013. Essentially, Michael Schumacher hasn't really been heard from very much since 2013.
Never.
We don't know what his medical status is. We haven't him in the public.
Yeah.
There's been some talk about him just being at home with his family.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But his son is racing.
Yes.
Mick.
Yeah. Yes. And they faked an AI interview with him.
A cheek.
And published it, and people thought it was real. And it even spoke and answered about how it felt to come out of the coma and how the preceding day.
In his voice.
Just completely making it up as it goes along.
But the cheek of this magazine, hey.
And it's not the first time.
This is probably going to close the magazine down.
Schumacher's family's actually sued them before. Same magazine.
Oh.
So it's like, AI is good and bad.
But I mean, AI was also bad this week for, The Weeknd and Drake.
Yes.
You know, there was a track that was released by the two of them on the one track. Completely AI generated. They never went to the studio to record it.
I know.
And it did so well, like millions, maybe billions of downloads and sales online. And it was taken down now. A copyright strike by Universal Music.
Drake's label.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Saying, hey, hold on a second. This Drake, it sounds like Drake, but it's not him. And also The Weeknd, they never released a track together. People were loving it, man. They were jamming. It was actually a good track. But now it was removed because it was never supposed to be released.
Now you see of the drama we're walking into.
And the funny thing is, they say it sounds even better than the actual material that Drake releases.
Really? Yeah. It was really good.
It's very convincing. So once again, like we said in previous shows, it's getting harder and harder to tell between what is real and human made, man made, and what is computer made.
100%.
And how it's imitating, humans. Like there was also this clip on TikTok this week of this woman who got a phone call from a school, and it was her daughter crying hysterically and saying, send me money and all that kind of stuff, and just in a terrible state, you know. Everything sounded like it was the daughter. Turns out it was just AI using a sample of her daughter's voice and then tricking the mom into sending money, or I don't know if she was kidnapped or there was a ransom, but quite a serious situation.
Unreal.
And her daughter was never there, you know.
Unbelievable.
So you see, it's almost like a parrot, eh? It's you don't know if it's the parrot or the actual thing that you're hearing.
It is. But you know what's really interesting about the AI, especially for someone like Drake, because it's a perfect example. If someone else uses it to be you, it's a problem.
Yeah,
and it's going to be copyright stricken, and it's probably going to cause a scene, and then regulation's going to come into play. But if Drake uses AI, we don't even comprehend that he can go to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He can have his team produce 20 different tracks with AI. They can listen to all of them. No one in the public can ever hear it or have to hear it because it's generated with AI. They own the commercial rights to it as well. They can listen to 20 different songs, pick the one that's absolutely the best, make some slight changes and record it themselves.
Yeah.
They can hear what they're going to sound like before they actually make
it. That's it. And we'll never know.
We will never know. We'll never know that they recorded. But one positive effect is the artist isn't necessarily getting stolen from when they use it as a as a creative
tool. When they're in on it,
When they use it as a creative tool. So there's going to be both sides of the equation for the next 2 years, definitely. You're going to have people that used it to interfere with other people's creative properties and intellectual properties, and then you're going to have the actual people who are those people using it. And how are you going to compete with someone like Drake, who can come to the studio in the morning and after 30 minutes he has 30 different songs, all with different artists, for them to decide who they're going to partner with next to make the next song?
Exactly.
That's powerful stuff.
Yo, this AI thing is really getting big now, hey? It was always like there in the background, but the last few months it just came to the forefront, and
it's just so
causing a lot of problems.
That's the problem. It's so very capable. It's not your quick background remover tool online, you know. It's incredibly usable, it's incredibly productive, and it's also incredibly inaccurate.
Yeah, at times.
So that mix creates a lot of problems. Speaking of problems, we all know about Meta, who let off about 4,000 employees recently again, right? And they've also released a huge portion of their misinformation team to be repurposed into safety teams.
Okay.
But there was a virtual Q&A going on with Zuckerberg and his team. And one of the people asked, why should we stay at Meta? After the company laid off about 4,000 employees in technical roles on Wednesday, employees asked Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg why they should stay at the company in a virtual Q&A on Thursday, according to the Wall Street Journal. Here's the full question and his response. So they say, Mr. You've shattered the morale and confidence in leadership of many high performers who work with intensity. Why should we stay at Meta? And Zuckerberg told employees he hopes they are at Meta because they believe in the work that the company is doing. He also went on to say that there's no other company in the world that delivers social experiences at the scale that they are and does so across such a diversity of different products and use cases. He finally added, so if you want to reach people in the billions and have a massive impact, I think this is a great place to be. Strong answer.
Quite a strong answer there by Zuck.
Kind of saying, yes, people are let go, but the people that haven't kind of find themselves in quite an opportunity, you know, to really make an impact. And in a way, he's right.
Have you used that feature on WhatsApp where you can record a voice note as a status?
No, I haven't.
I also haven't used it yet. I mean, imagine it's just too random. Like, what will you say? Hi, guys.
You just go through all your audio statuses.
Yeah.
You know, just like, it's like status over radio almost.
Yeah.
Just kind of just hear like a little update.
That's right, yeah.
So, do you have an iPhone? Yes, no.
No.
Have you ever had an iPhone?
No.
No.
Very close, but no.
If you had
Android guy.
If you had an opportunity to buy an iPhone, but you could only buy the first iPhone that was ever made, would you do it?
No.
No.
That stuff gets... I mean, even the one before the latest one is now out of date.
Yeah, so you definitely wouldn't get the first one.
No.
Well, a YouTuber did. A YouTuber by the name of MKBHD. He's a tech influencer. He makes tech videos, explains tech videos, goes to big release events and launch events for Apple and all sorts of different places. And he bought a sealed original iPhone in its box, in its packaging, the first OG original iPhone. He bought that for $40,000 and unboxed it on his YouTube channel.
Wow.
Would you have
what
ever thought the first ever iPhone, not the first ever iPhone made, but the first ever iPhone model made, still sealed in a box?
Is it quite big?
No, it's a tiny little phone, like one of the first iPhones when the phones were still much smaller.
Wow, still sealed, eh?
Still sealed.
So it's never been born, basically.
Which makes you think, like, if you happen to fall upon a phone that's for free, that's sealed, might be a good idea to just keep it for as long as possible, sealed, mm-hmm. you know? And, I mean, that iPhone wasn't $40,000 when it released.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's almost a million rand for a phone.
Yeah.
That he just unboxed on a YouTube channel.
I want to go and watch it now.
Right?
Yeah.
Just to see what it looked like.
Yeah. Does he actually, like, switch it on and go through it? Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch that after the show.
Most expensive phone ever. And it's old.
It's old.
Like, decades old. Can't even take a photo.
But probably. It's like a vintage car, hey?
Yeah.
It's got a lot of value now.
The crazy thing is, it was at an auction.
Mm.
So he was the winning bidder at $32,000, and the total he paid was $43,000, because that's how much tax he was charged on that.
Oh, wow.
Imagine getting charged $10,000 in tax to buy an old iPhone. just the sales tax. But he bought it.
Yeah.
And pretty cool. I might keep a phone that long one day. I mean, who knows?
I still have my old Philips Savvy.
Sealed.
That was my first phone, but I mean, I don't know if I could maybe put it in a museum someday.
I used to have a Nokia Express Music. Do you ever remember that one?
Yes. Like, do you still have it?
It's the go-to touchscreen. No, I've lost every phone I've
Express ever had. Music. What happened to that one? In a pool party.
I had a habit when I was younger, like after I was done with technology, I would sell it to buy the next technology.
Okay, yeah.
But I regret it now because...
You've been doing that from a young age.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, real tech guy.
Speaking of tech, is it time for music break?
Yes, yes.
Who are we listening to?
Ellie Goulding.
Hey.
You like Ellie?
Yeah, let's listen in.
Okay, here she is with By the End of the Night.
The brand new truck I wanna taste, wanna dry my tears. They disappear when I'm with you. Feel like the summer, a Saturday upper. I want you. Don't make me wait, take me away. By the end of the night, I wanna feel like the sky is dripping on every part of me. And by the end of the night, I wanna look at the lines tracing the shape of your. Touch, so unforgettable. Feed the rush. I don't wanna sleep with fever dreams when I.
Only one.
That's Ellie Goulding, By the End of the Night. Welcome back to Tech Plus. Kane, I don't know if you heard about this new little gadget called Minute, or maybe it's Minute, I don't know. It's the future of Airbnb monitoring. It's a little device that you stick on the ceiling of your Airbnb. Now, you're probably wondering, why?
Yeah.
Is it to spy on the guests? Well, in a way, there's no audio or video that can be recorded through it, but it monitors noise and occupancy. So you will know when your guests checked in, and also if they were noisy. It measures the decibel indoors and outdoors. So if your guests were noisy and had a lot of parties, you would be able to pick it up with this device, and then you'll be able to say, well, you were noisy and you weren't doing what you were supposed to do.
I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
I was waiting for that. And obviously, as cute as it looks, it almost looks like a smart speaker or something. They say it's a new Gen 3 sensor. But as cute as it looks, a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, no, it's privacy safe. But a lot of people have concerns saying, what if they can see us, you know?
Yeah.
What if they spy on us or listen in?
It's got to have some sort of visual audio input. And someone's going to figure out a way to decode that visual and audio format.
Whoa.
And they're going to watch you and all your guests on Airbnb.
So this is
like
not
that.
Going down too well.
I don't like that. If I saw that, I mean, everybody, when you go to an Airbnb, you look for cameras, you know. You make sure that at least you're not being spied on, you know, because that's pretty strange. Like, that's crossing the line for me. And that's like, how do we spy on someone without spying on them so that we can spy on them without them having to be able to make a proper complaint?
This is a real thing, and it's got like 5 stars almost, and it says protect your short-term rental.
But what about the guy that's staying there? You know, what about his feelings on being monitored and then being judged based on what was monitored? Like, what if you watch a loud movie on TV or something like that?
I'll pick it up.
You like the theater, you know, like to have a nice theater and all that sort of stuff. You know, and then you
some people are just loud. You can't help it.
Yeah, they're just naturally loud.
Yeah, this could be a problem. But anyway, so don't buy this new this new thing called Minute.
But on a real note, there are people that abuse Airbnbs. They bring way too many people. They say 4 sleeping there and they're sleeping 8. You know, they have massive parties. They don't respect the lights out hours, you know, where you're not allowed to make noise over a certain time. I get that. And it's better than having the owner in the room next door, you know. So there's a time and a place for it. And it just depends, you know. I just don't, you can't, it, as good as it is for the people that are doing bad, it's really bad for the people that do good, because you're subjectifying them to surveillance based on them doing the right thing because other people do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to let you protect your privacy because other people have done bad to me. Like,
it
doesn't work, because I want my privacy protected. I don't know who else you've interacted with.
So it's a no from you.
I don't know. It's a tentative. Show me proof that people can't, you know, gather that data themselves and use it for malicious purposes. And
good
we
point.
Can talk from there. You
good
know?
Point.
Because that's not connected to like a Windows computer. It's probably some custom built code and operating system and
software.
You connect
to an app or something.
Yeah, it doesn't have all the security features of old software that's been here, like Windows and Apple and all their security features, because your phone is Android or iPhone or Windows, and that has a mic and a camera, and that software has been developed over years and years and years through blood, which would be people hacking and breaking into it and maliciously using it to build security measures in place to make sure that people can't access it. So taking something that hasn't evolved like that and just sticking it on a ceiling and saying, sure, you can watch every move I make in my house, this is like scary, you know? It's not like something you just do out of nowhere.
Good point.
But talking of doing things out of nowhere, remember Elon Musk and Twitter blue tick? I knew we were going to talk about this, and we might as well start now.
Yes.
So Elon has now said that anybody who's a legacy or a verified user, meaning anyone who was a verified Twitter user prior to Elon Musk buying Twitter, is now slowly but surely losing their verified badge.
And that's what we're seeing this week. Nicki Minaj, no badge. Justin Bieber, no badge. No.
No, and a lot, and the premise is, if you want your blue badge, pay $8 a month.
But why these celebs can afford it? I mean, that's pocket change.
Well, that's the thing for me, that people that like throw the hammer at the wall and be like, I'm not paying that, but you're the person who's benefiting from it. If you're a celebrity, people are following you and keeping you in their line of sight because you have a social platform that allows you to connect to with all these different people. So you saying I'm not paying $8 a month for me is crazy, because you're making way more than $8 a month, even if it's indirectly.
Yep.
Like percentage wise.
Yep.
You know, you and the odd person who's trying to run his business from home and he's just starting, he must pay $8 a month. That doesn't seem fair. That being said, though, in true Elon Musk nature, because he said, when he said that the blue tick badge allows certain people to have a monopoly, whereas everybody should be able to reach the same verification level or authority level, which is fair but also incredibly difficult to actually navigate that kind of scenario. How does it work? You know, who deserves it, who doesn't? If everyone can buy it, does it even mean anything anymore? Right? All that sort of stuff. Well, he allowed LeBron James and someone else, Stephen King. So Stephen King, you can thank for Twitter not being like $20 a month or $10 a month.
Oh, that's Remember? The author, Stephen King.
Yeah, because he spoke up and said, no ways, that's way too expensive. I saw that, and then Elon changed his price down to $8 a month.
Yeah.
But Elon Musk has given LeBron James and Stephen King and William Shatner free badges, right? And this came because Stephen King made a tweet. He said, I haven't verified my account. I don't know why it says my account is verified, and I haven't added a mobile number. I don't know why it says that. And Elon Musk replied, you're welcome, namaste. Meaning he's paying out of his own account for LeBron James, William Shatner, and Stephen King to have Twitter blue tick. So
Forever.
He's basically given it to them on the house.
That's nice.
Which changes the whole basis of pay $8 to get on the same playing field as everyone else. Now you've got three people who aren't paying $8, which the world isn't happy about. I don't really mind. To me, it doesn't. Like, give it away for free. It's your company. You can do what you want.
Why do you think Justin Bieber doesn't have a tick? I mean, do you think it's just bad admin? They're still catching up.
I don't know, hey.
Because surely they can afford it. They need it.
It reminds me of the same thing. So on the same note regarding Elon Musk, he's recently had a bit of a headbutting scenario with Microsoft. Microsoft made an announcement on Twitter to say they are no longer supporting Twitter APIs in their Microsoft Teams. So in Microsoft Teams and things like that, you can actually automatically post to Twitter. You can automatically run ads. And it's because Microsoft is using what's called the Twitter API to provide instructions on content to be posted and campaigns to be run with code, basically. Mm-hmm. That's all it means. It's just automated Twitter posting and things like that, which they offer to people who are subscribed to Microsoft Teams. And they said, we're no longer going to support Twitter because Elon Musk has now made the API something you have to pay for. And they said, you know, obviously to appeal to this decision, they said, fine, we just won't use it at all. And Elon Musk said, no problem, I'm just going to sue you because you've illegally trained OpenAI's ChatGPT with Twitter user data to build your language model.
Mm.
That's basically what he turned around and said. And the same thing as the guy's not paying for Twitter, the celebrity's not paying for the premium Twitter subscription, even though they make a lot of money. Same thing for Microsoft. Their API, using Twitter's API to facilitate a piece of software that's given to customers, which is a very expensive piece of software. Anyone who uses Microsoft Teams on a premium level will know this is expensive.
Mm.
It is way more expensive than any other kind of tool, especially when you compare it to like Basecamp or Monday.com. Microsoft Teams can be in the thousands of dollars a month, depending on your size of your team. So that API would cost them about $42,000 a month to use Twitter's API to facilitate that service, which they don't want to pay. But when you're someone like Microsoft, who's making a hell of a lot of money, is it not fair that something that is a byproduct of your main product, something that enables you to have a further better product that reaches the needs of your customers, should it not be fair to pay the person who's providing you with the technology to offer that service and not threaten to withdraw that technology from your umbrella of software because you have to now pay to use an API, which a lot of other businesses charge to use APIs. It's not an uncommon thing. And people know Twitter is not profitable. That's why Elon Musk came in. That's why he removed all of the staff. That's why all that stuff happened, because Twitter couldn't make a profit. And to turn around, now while Twitter wasn't making a profit, you're making a big profit.
You're
scaling a massive project management software. And now you turn around, you say you're not going to pay for your monthly subscription to use the API. Now that the thing you're riding on the back of wants to make money. It's crazy. Celebrities don't want to pay it. Microsoft pulling out. It doesn't really seem normal. It seems kind of strange. It seems kind of like there's some other agenda in place between the higher levels and the other businesses against Elon Musk. He's kind of a monopoly at this point. He's got space. You know, he's got SpaceX, he's got Neuralink, he's got, you know, Tesla, he's got Twitter. He's a big guy. You don't kind of want to just feed the beast and make sure his second or third or fourth or fifth project is successful. That's what we're seeing,
I think it would be seriously remiss if we didn't discuss his rocket thing this week.
That's the next thing.
And the explosion or something.
This was crazy to watch for me. So
did you watch it?
Anyone who hasn't watched it yet, I
haven't watched it.
I go watch the pre-recording of the live stream. So I think it was yesterday or the day before. SpaceX rocket, this big Starship rocket, the thing that's supposed to be taking people from Earth to the moon, right? That's the next stop. Like the next humans to the moon is going to be through hopefully a Starship, SpaceX Starship rocket, and ultimately to Mars. This was the test flight of that particular rocket, and its job was, one, to launch, two, to go into orbit at maximum orbital speed, which is like 37,000 or 17,000 miles an hour, something like that, turn around and land. That was what it was supposed to do. And inside of that process, it was supposed to separate from the initial booster engine and reorientate itself and travel down. And it had a great launch. It was a completely successful launch, launched into the sky, was going like a Boeing, you know, no problems to record. Then it started going to its the point where it wants to start doing its maneuver to turn around and separate from the rocket boosters. And something was wrong there. And you could hear the commentators who were obviously talking over the live stream, because this is you're hearing the live commentary. And they were saying, okay, you know, it should be time now to start seeing that booster engine separate. And it hadn't separated. And the rocket itself started going into a spin. But the thing is, the commentators aren't like, oh no, something's definitely wrong, it's spinning out. They're like, they're kind of talking like this is supposed to happen, right? Like they're trying to cover it up. And it was like kind of spinning and it definitely not looking all right. Then it was burning the engines and it was looking pretty strange. And then all of a sudden it just explodes. Like it just goes poof, into this cloud of white smoke.
Yo.
Like completely fills up the frame. It did a little tumble and you couldn't see anything. And the crazy thing for me was everybody inside of SpaceX was shouting, like cheering, woo, like, yeah, we've done it. And I was trying to process it. I'm like, was that meant to happen? Was that what it looks like when the booster separates?
Yeah.
Even the commentators, when the booster separated, like, they were like, oh no, there's been an explosion. But then they heard the people cheering and they were like, this is obviously part of the plan. And you couldn't really tell, like, was this planned? Wasn't this planned? Behind the scenes, it wasn't planned. It was supposed to land.
Elon was not happy.
No, because when it cut to Elon behind the camera, that's when I knew something was wrong.
What was his face like?
Everyone in the room was cheering. And there was just Elon looked like his insides were on his outsides. He looked broken. He looked absolutely decimated by this result. And it's fair because they lost that Starship, that's supposed to be a reusable thing.
Damn.
And it's
gone. So Kane, just to get it straight, people were supposed to be on this, inside this thing,
not for the test flight, but
but you know, the plan is to put people in there,
not on that on that rocket when it works.
When it works. But how will you know next time you're sending it up it's not going to explode with the people in as well?
The test flights will probably be the way they get it to a safe point.
Anything can go wrong.
Anything.
Like, imagine people were in that thing, when was it? 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And it went up like that. Done. They'd be gone.
Done. And the thing is, it's not. There has been rockets that have gone, rocket ships that have gone into space and exploded with astronauts on it.
Yeah.
Those are real. Those are real scenarios that have played out.
What happens when something like that happens in space? Do you just float there forever? What actually happens to your body?
It depends if you're inside of the atmosphere or outside of the atmosphere. If you're outside of the atmosphere, the only thing that's really going to break you up like that is if you collide with something. And then there's going to be a massive catastrophe because it's going to create a lot of shrapnel, and that shrapnel will continue to orbit for who knows how long until it falls back into the atmosphere or separates from orbit, which is unlikely. But yeah, if there's a collision in space that causes a rocket to do that, it's chaos. Also, everybody else that's orbiting the Earth that's in that trajectory of that shrapnel, it can be seriously dangerous.
Yeah.
Seriously dangerous. It's like being in a hailstorm, but it's pieces of metal.
Oh my word.
It's not going to end well. If you're inside of the atmosphere, it's just also catastrophic as well. It's huge temperatures, massive force explosion, incinerated. It's just...
Wow.
It's nothing like... It's not going to... It's not like you're going to stand up afterwards and be like, sure, thank goodness I was wearing my life jacket. That's not going to be the case.
Yeah, that's the scary part, eh? I mean, once you're in that thing and you're going up, there's no coming down.
Well, let's say you do survive the explosion. How are you going to survive the 5-minute fall from like 50,000 feet above ground level? No.
It's not looking good.
So they need to get it right. And this is kind of part of the process. I think Elon Musk would have wanted it just to go utterly smooth, but that's unrealistic. It is, by definition, the largest, most heaviest rocket launched ever.
But we understand Elon's disappointment, of course, because this has been in the making for a very, very long time, and now it's back to the drawing board again.
Yeah, reconstruction.
So there's a lot of disappointment for him because you want to know, why did it go wrong? What went wrong and why?
Even his Twitter looked kind of down.
Yeah, shame. Got his hopes up there.
Yeah,
but I guess it's worth trying.
But that's how you know he's the hardest worker in the room, because every single person was cheering except for him.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want it to get into the air or get into orbit. He wanted it to complete its mission with 100% success. And that's why it will become successful.
He's very precise and he won't settle for anything less. That's actually a good quality.
So here's something else. Your iPhone can now tell you if your house is on fire.
Well,
could have been handy for you with your UPS. Maybe it's time to switch phones. So a new sound recognition feature on your Apple HomePods will send an alert to your iPhone, iPad, or Apple Watch if the smart speaker hears a smoke or carbon monoxide alarm going off. Interesting.
Very cool
feature.
So, but what if you watch a movie where there's like smoke and fire, and then it picks up that sound? How will it know it's real? Is that a good question?
That's a very good question.
How will it know? Like,
imagine you're a parent out in town and it's like your house is on fire and you come back and it's just
an action movie on
just
TV.
Just an action movie.
Yeah.
They probably thought of it, but I mean, must be AI,
But they could be false. AI. Let's just say prepare for some false alarms.
And remember, we spoke about Apple. We spoke about the original iPhone that was launched.
Yeah.
Well, companies who are startups, who are coming up with new and cool ideas, have a very interesting terminology for Apple when they get interested in them, right? So the phrase, this is a phrase given to used by smaller companies when Apple takes an interest in one of their products or features. According to a report from Wall Street Journal, over the years, Apple has faced numerous lawsuits for companies and developers that allege Apple stole their ideas after first wanting to work with them. So when a small company starts hearing about Apple wanting to work with them, they say that it's the kiss of death. So when Apple starts speaking to you, they say it's the kiss of death. It's a matter of time. See you never. You know? When Apple takes an interest in a company, it's the kiss of death, one founder told Wall Street Journal. First, you get all excited. Then you realize the long-term plan is to do it themselves and take it all. Pretty bad to be called out like that, but you write your book by the actions you make, so that's interesting. BuzzFeed as well, also shutting down.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Their news team, eh?
Their news team is shutting down.
Editorial,
News. And they said the reason that is because when Facebook started changing its algorithms and Twitter started changing its algorithms, and when news became bad, right, and people started hating news, they were all about free journalism. It basically, the Facebook specifically did this thing, and I'm sure you would know, where they stopped, they focused more on person-to-person content sharing.
Yeah.
Meaning the stuff you would see in your feed is more likely from a human being versus a business.
Yeah.
And when your whole business is getting in front of people on Facebook with good journalism, and you no longer are being shared like that, and when you are reaching people, people look at it in a negative way, it's ultimately a collapse.
You're right.
They do have other, it's not like BuzzFeed is shutting down, it's just BuzzFeed News.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said the reason that it took so long is because it was actually something he was super passionate about.
Yeah.
And he's realized that, you know, that kind of news format and media format, and also producing custom private journalism with no cost, is incredibly unprofitable.
Wow. But before we shut down the show,
yes,
you know that Netflix, they started off, before Netflix was a streaming service, they started off as a mailing service, mailing movies and series to you.
Yes.
in the United States. Did you know that that was still going up until this week, where you could get mailed your movies and series?
From
They're only
Netflix.
Shutting it down now.
Wow.
It's only stopping now. I thought it stopped when they started streaming.
I thought it stopped and then they started something else and then they started
exactly.
Netflix.
No, you could actually still, people, you know, I suppose the older people would still get it like that. But they're stopping that now. So now they only stream. But I never knew their postal service was still going.
Wow.
Never work here in South Africa because people would steal your DVDs.
Wow.
Before it even gets to your house.
Do you know, I recently over the weekend was browsing around and I found an old DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was trying to play it off of their computer and they couldn't get it right. And I was reminiscing. I was like, you know, these are some of the problems you used to have with DVDs.
Yep.
And I was like, I wonder what's wrong with it. So I took the DVD out and I turned it around and I noticed it was cracked in half.
Oh.
And that's like,
oh, that's why.
It's not every day you pick up your flash drive and it's in half.
Yeah. But sometimes they would also lock it, like it would have an area code or area lock or region lock, and then you couldn't watch it in a specific area, and then the DVD store had to give you, was it a code? I'm not sure. Something like that.
Yeah, but DVDs are like they're actually really cool, but at the same time extremely like easy to mess with, because even the slightest scratch it influences the quality.
Definitely.
Or portion of the video. Yeah.
Just like at your TV set, do you still have a DVD player?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, but I don't have it plugged in anymore because
okay. I removed mine a while ago. Yeah.
But even a flash drive, you know, you can drop a flash drive, you can throw a flash drive at someone, you can damage a flash drive.
Work.
It's probably going to work. It either won't work at all, or it will work perfectly fine.
But not glitch and
yeah, but
jump
a DVD can work 60% or 40%, 10%.
Oh, that was so annoying.
It was, eh?
And that's it for another show for this week. Kane, thank you so much as always.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Thank you to all of our listeners. We'll see you next week.
Enjoy what's left of the weekend.
Yes, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Everyone.